story, and well, maybe first 101 and take it from there. Just something about japa, for instance, or sadhana. I mean, we find it in all religions and spiritual paths and traditions, practices that you should do. Do this, do that. It's good for you. Now, that should not be taken in a neurotic, compulsive, obsessive way, or whatever you call it, compulsive way that you, I have to, otherwise I'm bad. It's a set of motions you have to go through every day. That, you know, devotees or spiritual people do, and I have to do them, otherwise I'm not a proper spiritual person. I will go to hell or something. That kind of fear-based. And you could say then, compulsive in the sense of just I have to do this specific activity with my body, my mind. Otherwise, I'm bad, or I'm out, or I'm fallen, or I'm this, or I'm that. This way, when you sit there with your beads in your hand, it becomes a different thing than if you simply take this as, here I am, I'm holding this bead in my hand, and I'm chanting the names of God. I'm chanting this mantra, this Maha Mantra in this case. And I'm listening, and I like it. That's how it started for me, and that's how it's still going on. In other words, I heard it being taught that way by certain gurus and acharyas in Argolia. Mission tradition. Just do it as much as you like and that feels comfortable and doable to you. It's not the quantity, it's the quality, as we say. And Lord Chaitanya said, even if someone says the name Krishna once, accept him as a devotee, which we should learn from as well. You know, everyone who, especially those who, which I often repeat, spent the best years of their lives serving, doing pioneer work for Krishna. I bow to you all. And someone who's just a little interested in Krishna consciousness, I bow to you. Because we're all parts and parcels of God, goddess and God, and have our eternal relationship with God and each other, I mean, in the real world. So that's the way I see it now, and that's what I read Srila Prabhupada writing, that it's all about always remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna, you know, in other words, being that in that awareness of Krishna's presence. And when you are, then yes, it's not just a philosophical idea, but then Krishna, God, whatever you want to call God, is present here with you. Is always, anyway, and the only thing you added was that you are present, aware of God, aware of Krishna's presence. And that's all there is to it. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. And some who are, I would say, materially conditioned, they may think that, no, just in sitting there thinking of God, thinking of Krishna, that's just mental. That's not for real. No, we should work with our bodies hard. For God, then we show for real, then we are doing real devotional service. That's our Western, I guess, upbringing, conditioning. The most real we find there is this physical world, because, yeah, we can touch it and take it, and, you know, we offer some real stuff to God here, not just sitting there thinking flimsy mental forms. But that's what, if you read my book there, The Vedic Planetarium, that's what we have to switch over. When we go deep inside, whether we, for instance, chant in our minds or with our lips or mouths, what matters is that here is Krishna, here's God present. Radha Krishna, Hare Krishna. Fully present. And when we get aware of that, at least we focus on that presence, whether we know it or not, or believe it or not, or whatever. And yes, we are in the presence of God, and we are God conscious, Krishna conscious. That's the purpose of it. And yeah, I mean, if you ask me whether you count or don't, I mean, it's, again, sadhana good to regulate, have it, make it as a good habit, but not as a must, otherwise I'm bad. No, take whatever you can, whatever time you can spare, as we say. And spend it in Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. Whether you sit down with a bead bag. And I really recommend it. Holding those beads, and you have one bead, Hare Krishna, another bead, saying the Hare Krishna, and just being there with Krishna in the form of called a name. It's nice. But I know some of us who, from the old days, I don't know how it is now, for us it became often a force, something you had to do. I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that, I'm stressed out. I have to do so many things. You're not supposed to sleep, even to serve God 24 hours a day. You know, I slept 6.5 hours, not just 6 hours. Oh, I'm fallen. I mean, I'm not kidding. We were a bit like that in the old days. And then I had to do my 16 rounds. I have to, otherwise, oof. Staying up late, everyone else sleeping, and I have to finish my round, so I'm falling asleep. To know I can't, you know, that we've been through that. I've been through it so many times. But then I find that some of us who went through that, they don't want to touch their japa mala anymore. they don't like it. And that's unfortunate, because it is very nice. And I remember, it's one of the first things I learned when I first came in contact with the Krishna devotees in the Krishna temple, that chanting the names of God is Hare Krishna mantra, is the names of God. So when God is present in God's name, so there you are with God. And that was logical to me, it made sense. So I remember walking around the streets of Stockholm there, just mumbling to myself, I think I did, Hare Krishna mantra, and I liked it. And I didn't even, you know, I was a little surprised. It was just nice, and it still is. You don't have to make it more philosophical and complicated than that. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And that's how we learned it, from those who had learned it from Srila Prabhupada, that he emphasized that. But then, of course, we have temples and we have ashrams and we have, you know, if you want to go and move and live in an ashram for a while, and some are really serious, you know, but, well, some become brahmacharis for some time and go through that training, which I recommend is very good. And especially if life is just falling to pieces out there, or the world looks crazy, that brahmachari ashram, it's the shelter. You're sheltered by Krishna and independent of everything else. So there's always a place for you, for us. But you know, and there are rules, you know, propagate sannyas, and to some disciples, and he said, you know, my Guru Maharaj was strict, so I'm also, he was kind of emphasizing that sannyas, focusing a bit on that, I think. If you live in the temple, not necessarily sannyas, but when you live there in the ashram, you know, just as living in the guru kula, the guru, there the temple servants, the priests, the pujari, and all of those living in the temple and ashram, they follow a certain standard. That's just the way, you know, we have to have a certain standard in the temple. But then, I would even say the normal life for Vaishnava devotees of God. And I think we can show that it's there in the culture of Gaudiya Vaishnavism of India and West Bengal as well, there in the Mayapur area, that you live your life as an ordinary person. You work, learn, study, get a job, get a family, take care of your family, your social duties, but you do it for Krishna in the sense, not that it has to be just working for a religious organization where you serve that organization and give all your money or your working hours to that organization for free, and then you don't have anything. You know, to maintain your family and your home anymore. That's what I mean, that when it gets kind of, I think we can say that when something comes in new like this, and this movement that Srila Prabhupada came in, a piece of Indian culture, Gaudiya Vaishnava culture, transplanted, as someone said, into the Western cultures. You can expect that, you should expect that. A young, new neophyte practitioners, it's so much changes, so much to do, and so much to follow that they just want to be good devotees and good practitioners, so that let's do everything. We have to. It became a bit like that. But now I'm sitting here, age 70, and I just like the Hare Krishna mantra, and I like to chant it. My mind or with my mouth, whatever. And sometimes I like to just sit here with Krishna and be with Krishna. With Gandhari Kakiradhari, with Krishna Gornitai. These are the forms of God that I relate to. And you have your forms of God that you relate to. And someone may say, oh, God is formless, but then that is your form of God that you relate to. Impersonalism, personalism, both are there included, right? And this beautiful knowledge that we find in Sanatana Dharma culture, which you, I would say, you can find all over the world, different cultures, different religions, and outside of religions, and it's not depending on that. This is something of the soul we're talking about. And why I'm talking about it in these words of Sanskrit and this context of the Gaudiya tradition is that this is a tradition I grew up in, and that I found that, first of all, answered all my questions and really very completely gives a working path to live. But when you do it right, it's a very happy and wise, healthy path, satisfying life, because it's leading us back to our original life, which is happy and loving and an adventure as well. So this is why I'm sitting here. Hare Krishna.